This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back. We're at the top of the hour, Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We are live at the Beacon Building. We're at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. And you are listening to The Pulse 107.7. You can also stream us live on the World Wide Web, WTPLFM.com. We'd also love for you to like us on Facebook. You can go to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And we also have a webpage, foodforthoughtnh.com, where you can listen to all the past broadcasts that we've had. We have everything listed up there. We even have Pinterest. We're like so in the up and
into the social media
into the
world.
Social media.
We're
yes.
just
very
every,
current.
On the
yes.
internet.
That's
exactly.
what I was trying to say.
Right.
So, I was going to say Chef Patrick, but Donna is ready.
Yeah. Chef's in here just supervising today.
Chef is supervising, and Chef brought us more baked goods, mm-hmm. like I need it.
That's
slap
what we
my
do.
Butt.
You know? Thank you, Chef. You know, I just figured out a way that we can monetize, our time here every day, is we can just start selling the food that we don't eat that we get brought every day.
We can go bring it upstairs during break.
Yeah.
Exactly. Great idea, you know?
I mean, think about it. What we've had this week, we've had...
Oh, my gosh.
We tasted sriracha on Monday. Also Monday, we had fresh picked figs.
Oh, they were so good, Chef Patrick. Fresh figs?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
which
yeah,
I'm sure you've had.
Every
once in a while, you can find those in Market Basket.
Well, I found them in Fresh Market.
Did you Fresh Market? Yeah.
Right now, I guess they're in season right now.
Yeah, right now. It's a very short window.
It must be.
And it's one... And the other day, was it over the summer... I found fresh lychee nuts there too. Those are fantastic.
Okay.
If you've ever had those, it's a very short window. But there's nothing like them.
I had no idea it was as good as it was.
Oh yeah, nice and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of you could like I always look at the fruit itself, and when you cut it right in half, I like the look of it.
Yeah.
You
know?
Oh yeah, the boys were talking about that.
Yeah.
But we can't say that.
Right, and then we had beef jerky yesterday. Right,
yes.
From LeMay's.
Oh, wow.
So we've gone from all those stuff, and today it's all about the sweet tooth.
All about the sweets.
Yeah. There you go. So. I didn't know that you were going to get pastries earlier
okay.
on today, but, you know.
Hey,
do not apologize.
It's
you know,
all
you
good.
Did a good thing.
That's great. You know,
it is all good. So Donna from Delaware, Donna's Delights in Delaware. She also has a web page, Donna's Delights, D-E-E-L-I-T-E-S. Like her on Facebook. And welcome, Donna.
Oh, she's ringing the dinner bell.
Good afternoon, class. My name is Don't Stop, Get It. And this is room number. We're cooking with High Grease 1000. We're going to start this school year off right. Now, let me take attendance. Let me see what fine students I'll be working with. So, when you hear your name called, I want you to shout out nice and loud, hooty-hoo, hoo-hoo, in the place to be on the MIC kink. Now, you all got that?
Yeah, we got it.
Theodore, king of the castle, here to give Donna everything except no hassle. Hooty-hoo!
In the place to be on the MIC. King.
Carol, on top of her A game, ready to take Donna's delight straight to the top.
Hooty-hoo in the what? In the MIC?
Yeah, like microphone.
Oh, gosh, I'm so stupid.
You'll get it.
Keen.
All right.
There we go.
Mike, I'm the man with the golden plan to aid Donna to get that fat check for $1 million.
Hooty-hoo and the blowfish on the mic. Keen.
All right, Kim. Chef Patrick. Patrick cooking it right for Donna's delight.
Hooty-hoo on the mic.
All
Keen.
Right.
Keen.
Now, Keen. Don't forget the Keen. Now, all right now, let's get this Food for Thought Live on the Pulse started right. How y'all doing up there?
We are doing good.
We are doing Keen, baby.
It's school time, y'all. Y'all got to get back into the swing of things. Y'all don't have any small children, do y'all?
I do.
Chef
you
Patrick.
Do? Yes, yeah. I have an 8-year-old and I have a 12-year-old. That's small, but you know. You know, a 12-year-old and an 8-year-old, so.
So, you know, the school day is coming and all that good stuff. So,
the most
y'all get
wonderful
ready for all
time.
That. The kids went back to school yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're back. They went back yesterday.
Oh, they went back yesterday.
Yeah.
Uniforms and book bags and,
oh,
and
yeah.
all new shoes.
All new shoes, dresses, and, you know, yeah, they're a little dressed up, you know.
Yeah. So y'all ready for the recipe of the week?
We are.
We're hungry.
I can't wait to hear what you what you're going to bring
excited,
to the table.
Y'all just beaming with anticipation. Well, you know Don's going to give it to you. She's going to give it to you right. Now, here we go. School is back in session. Kids with pens, paper, book bags, and erasers waiting in the lunch line for that USDA hamburger meat that was shipped all the way from Afghanistan. I know you want to know how I obtained that juicy tidbit of information. You want to know, don't you?
Please lay it on us.
Well, let me tell you, in 2012 to 2013, I was working in a middle school cafeteria. And you know me being a reader of labels, one day was placing those frozen hockey pucks on the tray, and I read that camel meat, a.k.a. hamburger patty, came from straight from Afghanistan. Now, y'all know that there ain't too many cows in Afghanistan. So that is just sad. Those poor little kids. Anyway, I remember when I was in the seventh grade, and my cooking school teacher's name was Miss Turner, and we called her behind her back Miss Turner, the baked bean burner. She did not play. Gordon Ramsay didn't have nothing on her. You better not lick that beater. She didn't allow that. And you better follow Miss Turner's recipe to the nine. She was mean, y'all. She was mean. She had no kids at the time and apparently didn't have no fun in her life either. We had to tote that sterile line or it was our behind. Old Miss Turner, that baked bean burner, said many kids are packing for not listening. But she always had them halls smelling good. And I remember snickerdoodle cookies and cinnabuns straight coming. And they made those cinnabuns out of refrigerator biscuit dough. Oh, yes. It's cool to be back in school. That is the golden rule. So go on and go old school. Have that house smelling like Toll House cookies when those little monsters are released from them educational facilities. Give them some sweet love, a cookie, for those cookie monsters. I went in on my backpack, just like Doherty Sport, and got me a recipe of the week. So come on, Boots, a.k.a. Mike, and here it is.
Hey, Mama, give me something sweet to eat.
Sugar cookie recipe. This is what you'll need to give to your little crumb snatchers so that they can have tooth decay. You will need 1.5 cups of bacon, 1.5 cups of powdered sugar, 1 cup of butter, 1 egg, 2 tablespoons of vanilla, 2 cups of all-purpose flour, 1 teaspoon of baking soda, 1 teaspoon of cream of tartar. Now, with a hand mixer, I cream together that butter, sugar, eggs, and vanilla. Then, in a small bowl, I sift together my flour and my baking soda and cream of tartar. I pour the flour into the sugar mixture, and I mix it all together. I place that in the ice box and let that sit for 2 hours. Preheat your oven to 315 degrees, and I spoon a half a dollar size of dough onto my cookie sheet lined with parchment paper. Bake for 7 to 8 minutes. Serve with a glass of milk and a whole lot of love, because runny noses, homework until midnight, and PTA meetings need a whole lot of sugar. King!
You're quite amazing, Donna.
Did I hear bacon in there?
Yeah, bacon.
Yeah,
one and a half cups
or
teaspoons or something.
You know, back in the day when your mama had cookies ready for you, and they don't do that no more, do they?
They didn't then.
No. They
didn't? No, I'm sorry to say.
Our
we had 7
did.
Kids. Really? Well, you're
yes,
so much older
did.
Than I am.
You didn't
Mike's
get
not
cookie.
Being nice, Donna.
Mike's
not
being
nice. Nope.
No, I'm being
well,
wise.
Well, you know what? That's okay. He's going to get some of this sugar. Because you know what? I'll give you some hand tea. I bet you don't know what hand tea is, do we?
Do you know, Chef?
No,
yeah.
Not
at
all.
We're looking at Chef.
Hand tea is what we call when we got swatted on the behind.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've got a lawyer, so go ahead.
You're gonna get some Arizona hand tea. You keep it up with me, Mike.
You can't touch your kids anymore and get away with it.
That, well, you know what? That's a doggone shame, because every now and then they need a little touch.
I agree.
It's true.
Well, yeah.
I didn't play.
I back
that.
You on that one.
A little swat on the
first
butt.
First of all, kids supposed to. I used to tell mine this. You gonna do what I tell you to do, because I pay the bills in here. You know, so I didn't play that. No way. Because first of all, you eating and breathing and sucking up my air, and you gonna tell me what to do? That ain't right.
No, you're right. You are right.
Them little crumb snatchers. I love them to death, but you got to give them hand tea. Yes, it's a balance.
That's right. I agree. I agree with you. Mike's not saying nothing.
No. Mike's not saying nothing, because Mike needs some. He know what? We're going to give him some Snapple.
No, you know, I actually do appreciate a good spanking now that I'm an adult, so we'll just leave it there.
Right. I ain't fool with you. You right. Yeah. You need professional help. You hear me?
Yeah. This just in.
I'm going to get Barbara on you. Hey, I'm going to tell her to give you some hand tea and make sure it's Lipton.
Lipton. So what else is new up there, down there, Donna? Barbara,
well, I got you all confused.
Yeah, you did for a second.
So what's new is I'm working on a new recipe, so that's why I told you to send me my root beer.
Yes, working and Amanda that. Is sending mm-hmm. that out today. So
yes, sir.
I know,
and
Donna's
what else is going on down here? It's just a warm, sunny day, and Donna knows that life is for living and food is for giving. And Donna's got to get out of here, because I'm ready to give Teddy some hand tea. King!
All right, bye-bye.
Wow, we're lively today.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Thank God for the 10-second delay.
Crazy.
Yeah. That's too funny.
Good stuff, though. Good stuff.
Hey, those cookies, bacon in the cookies.
Yeah, you know what? I tried bacon a couple years ago in some of my chocolate chip cookies, and didn't seem to make a difference. I maybe didn't put as much in, but I also used just a little bit of bacon grease, too, to kind of didn't. So, and the texture of the bacon was just not that good.
I tried it in my beer, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, and it didn't work out either.
No.
Something about greasy beer is not, you know, it's okay.
Right,
you know? So
I would think maybe in a cookie, you know, when you get like the you know, the crispy pieces, you know, like just the, you know, the broken pieces,
sprinkle
maybe
it
like
on top, when
on
it's done.
Top.
Yeah.
Well, even, you know, before you put them in, maybe. And then, you know, maybe come up that way.
If they didn't burn, though, because I have them in for 12 minutes to 375. But I think you're right. I think instead of baking it into the batter, sprinkle it on top. And see how it does there.
Right.
The texture
even
and
candy
flavor.
It. Crunch it up in candy.
Oh,
right.
You know, candy bacon or chocolate. You know what? I was
at the
beach this summer, and there was a place that sold chocolate covered bacon, and I had to do it. I went in and I did.
What did you think of it?
It was fantastic. I love bacon.
What kind of chocolate?
It was dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate.
Yeah, so.
I had it at the Hopkinton Fair a couple years ago,
and
I thought it was disgusting.
You didn't like it?
You know what it was? When you took a bite of it, the bacon was so limp.
Oh,
really? You know, it wasn't like crispy.
Well, the way these people did it was crispy. They cooked it, like really cooked it well, you know. So.
And then did they dunk it when you said you want one, or were they already made?
They had them made.
They had
them
made. See, they had them made too, and when they picked it up, it literally went. you know what I mean?
We should try raw bacon chocolate dip.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. It was. Yuck.
You're pulling at it, you know. So.
I didn't like it.
Yeah. No, this was good. You know, like I said, they had that one. They just did it right. I mean, it was. Well cooked, and then it made sense, you know. So
I would think it would need to be a nice thick cut, you know, a decent you know, kind of bacon, but it needs to be crispy, so it's nice and firm, and then dip it, and you know, that might
get
been...
it crispy though if it, on a thicker cut. I mean,
do at the diner,
yeah,
and we have really good bacon at the
you guys
diner.
Are pros.
We do.
You do have very good bacon.
It's
how you get it by the mugful, right?
You can get it by the mug, and they stand
that.
Up.
Yeah, it doesn't limp over,
no,
right?
They don't limp over.
I brought my kids there. They saw that. They're like, oh, it's like a light.
Yeah.
You know,
that
and the frisbees.
Yes, they love those. I hear from parents all the time that they're like, "Do you have any idea how many frisbees I have at home? They have like 25 or 30."
Should have a buyback program, like fire.
You know, I texted Tracy and I told her that chocolate chip scones were here, and look at her in the green room.
Da, 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 da.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. That's crazy.
I think she had an appointment just down the street or something, so she just popped back over. All right, I think we're going to go on a break. You're listening to Food for Thought. We're live at the Beacon Building. Chef Patrick is in the house, Lakes Region Community College at Shaker Village. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Music. Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We are at the Beacon Building right in downtown Manchester, 814 Elm Street. Chef Patrick is in the house. And from Lakes Region Community College, right at Shaker Village, he is the head chef and teacher.
Yeah, director. I do everything. I have many hats, you know, teacher
of the culinary
and
program.
Eater. Yep. That's my best one that I do.
The past couple of days. Thanks to all the guests this week.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. Have you ever seen me eat so much?
No.
I know, right?
I
hope Daryl's not listening.
I don't judge. You have to answer to Rocco at some point, I suppose.
I know.
I think I have to meet Rocco, you know, so I gotta get back on. I always say that I've said it three times on this show alone. I'm on it. I know it. I'm there. I'm ready to go. And then,
I stay away from him except once a week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
right.
It's one of those things that, can't help it. You love what you do. This is what it is. You know, it's there.
Well, your students have been working hard.
Yeah.
You brought a pastry box filled with goodies today.
Yeah, we're back in the swing of things. So one of our beginning courses, so we get a bunch of new freshmen come in, and we have culinary fundamentals, which is a beginning class. And like you know, like I said before, you know, here's a knife, here's how you hold the knife, here's an oven, and it goes up to 400, and you know, and the door opens like this. So we do all the basics, but we also have a basic baking class. So it was called bakery production. Our basic baking class starts off with all the basics. So if you went into a bakery, the things you would expect to see there. So we had the first one is called quick breads. So we got poppy seed muffins, and I brought you some scones and all that sort of stuff. And then next week will be cookies, and they do all sorts of cookies from Icebox Cookies to I'll have to show and throw in the bacon snickerdoodles there this time too. But and my wife April, she teaches at that class. So we have two pastry chefs that teach those classes. So
and she still does wedding cakes and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
She does request. And then today was her cake decorating class too as well. So they do cake decorating, basic torts and stuff like that. They do all soccer torts to, you know, your basic torts that you might see inside.
Could you kick out a wedding cake if you had to?
A wedding cake, it would take me a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, she does it with the tiered cakes and stuff like that, and she can pipe it. I don't have the patience for doing the piping, you know. Like we always say, you know, for bakers, we're like, yeah, that's the dark side, you know. I'm more of a, you know, like I said, doing chef. You know, I'd rather throw some stuff in a pan with some bacon and all that sort of stuff, you know. But I mean, I could do cakes. I can definitely do, you know, simple, you know, basic cakes and stuff. And if it was a wedding cake, I could do it. Mm-hmm. It would just take me a while. And I, you know, because I know how to do it, you know. So, but
all right. So, if we threw you on Top Chef or one of those shows where everything is just okay, make this. You got 35 minutes. Go. How do you think you would do?
Oh, I would do well. That's my forte. I love it, and
so
I actually
get
him
on that show.
Yeah, I actually do that for my students. Like they'll walk in sometime, and you know, I believe in, you know, when I'm teaching, I do practical examinations. I want to see, you know, after a whole year of me teaching you, I want to see what you've learned and see if you can take that theory and do something with it. It's one thing if I can just say, okay, we're gonna do this together, and I help you, and you make a soup. But I want to see you make a soup, you know. Mm-hmm. So sometimes say you were my class, and at the end of the class, I said, okay, we're going to do a practical final. I might give you a sirloin steak with some artichokes, tomatoes, gorgonzola cheese, and see what you're going to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Give you a bunch of ingredients, call a mystery basket. And you
like chopped,
yeah,
in a way. But those are logical ingredients that go together.
Yeah, it's not like I give them like chocolate covered ants or something, you know.
Right. root beer barrel candies.
Yeah, yeah.
And artichoke. Yeah. So.
Yeah. No. They. So I give them, you know, basic ingredients and see, you know, and it's, you know, sometimes I'll throw a little curveball in there. Generally, I'll do like chicken. I always do a cheese. I always do a protein. I'll throw like a fruit in there sometimes, you know, and then they can use anything they want. You can do whatever side. You have to create me one plate. You know, but you can in just piece it together, you know. So, you know, by the time you're done with that class, you know, because I teach a lot of second year classes, you should be able to formulate, because as a chef, you know, you create menus and you create things. You know, that's important. That's more important
than opening a book and following a recipe.
Right.
You know,
I agree.
You know, and I try to tell them that, you know, because a lot of times they get so fixated on that recipe and they're standing there and they got the recipe and they're like, okay, 1/4 cup of onions. You know, just chop up a bunch of onions and sweat them down and throw them in there, you know. So that's what, we try to do that with the recipe. So I'll take the recipe and I'll just crumble it up. I'll be like, okay, listen, we're making soup. You know, if you can make one soup, you can make different soups. You know, it's just a different variation of soups, you know. So I'm trying to get that, you know, because some people, like I said, it's amazed how I look at things when people are like, they're sitting, you know, coming to cooking class, like it's going to be so difficult, like we're building a bomb or something, you know. They're standing there like, okay, how much garlic? I don't know, 2 or 3 bulbs. You go, well, okay, so they take their garlic and they smash it up. I said, no, that's how we do it in the restaurant industry. So we buy it already peeled, all right? I said, and you see this big thing? It's a Cuisinart, but it's like a RoboCoop is what it's called. Put it in there, chop it up. I said, do enough for everybody because we're going to be using tons of this, you know? So that's really what a restaurant's like, you know, exactly. So we run our classes like that. So, you know, people understand that. Well, you're coming in here, I'm trying to teach you to become a chef, not a home cook. You know, because we get a lot of people in here like, oh, I just want to take cooking classes. And then all of a sudden they step into our class and I'm like, all right, you're online today. You're on the grill and they're grilling steaks for 50 people and they're sitting there like this. I said, well, this is what you're coming here for. I said, this isn't a home ec class. This is.
Right. Now, are you talking about like if I, who is just like to cook at home, wanted to come and really sharpen my skills, I could take a class like
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
I could audit it or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. You could do that. We have people that can just want to take one class.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny. I have a gentleman that comes in, you know, every year and he's taken almost all of our classes. He doesn't care about the degree at all or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, and he's 70 years old. You know, he really enjoys cooking. So, and he right in there, chef uniform, everything.
That
he loves
is cool.
It.
How's he do?
Pretty
good.
He does awesome. Yeah, he does great. You know, and it's funny because it's like, you know, I throw him right in there. And if the funniest thing is his interaction with the students, it's like, you know, it's just so funny because he's in there and doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, is he dating any of them?
No. A couple of them. They should, you know. He doesn't have to work, so
yeah,
I can only imagine so, you know, so.
Wow.
Now, this time of year, beginning of the school year, is this like an exciting time of year for you?
It's
like
good.
Meeting
it's...
the new students? And,
yeah, I love,
you know,
I love meeting the new students. I like getting the new students in here. You know, like I said, it's hectic, but at the same time, you know, it mellows out and it starts to get fun.
Do you, you know, after the first, you know, few classes, do you sometimes like zone in on one person and say, you know what, that person's got it.
Yeah,
one doesn't have
it. You always see people, you know, some people that are in there and they, you know, they have it or they don't have it. And you see them. So, yeah.
Hmm.
Always. So.
So what were your first days at Johnson & Wales like? Were you going in very confident? Because you had worked in the kitchen in a professional setting before. But now you're up against who knows what these professors are like. So how nervous was it?
I was very confident when I went to Johnson & Wales. Like I said, I've been cooking since I was 13, and I think that's half the battle.
Mm-hmm.
what you get a lot of times nowadays, a lot of these students, like I said, they come in there right out of high school. A lot of them haven't even worked before. I think there's a big piece missing, mm-hmm. you know, to that. So, you know, it's one of those things. So.
And so yours is a 4-year program, or do you have a master's?
No, this is our two-year.
Oh. No, I know at Lakes Region, but your degree from Johnson & Wales, is that a bachelor's or master's?
I got two degrees. I have associate's degrees in culinary arts, and then I also have my bachelor's in culinary arts, but it has it's an entrepreneur backing to it. So that's how they do that. It's a 4-year program. But then I went on and got my master's degree as well.
What kind of money does it cost to go to the CIA or Johnson & Wales?
Well, nowadays it's they're expensive.
Yeah.
You know, for cooking school, it's $45,000 a year right now. So it's expensive. So, you know, that's why, you know, I love working for community college because, you know, we can show you can show that there's another option for the students out there and so on and so forth. So, you know, because, you know, you're learning how to cook. You know, you're going to spend $45,000. And that's all schools, though, nowadays.
Yeah, that's not exceptionally high.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on the high end, but it's not.
It is on the high end.
It's not off the charts anymore.
I mean, all the student loans that these kids are going to have, you know, when they have the choice around here to go to the, you know, to the community colleges and getting pretty much the same education.
Well, it is. You know, we're just a smaller venue.
Smaller version.
Know? Like I said, I tell students this all the time. I said, you know, you go to one of these big schools, you're paying all that money. Well, what are you paying for? Well, they have a $30 million building that recycles its own rainwater. We'll never have that, but you're also paying for that building. You're paying for the largeness
exactly.
of mm-hmm. the university and so on and so forth. Is the cooking theory and the principle, are they any different?
Yeah, because they're learning from you, a Johnson & Wales graduate,
yeah.
minus the $30 million building that recycles its own wastewater.
When I went,
I'm sorry, rainwater.
But you know what? Where they cook there, you know, Shaker Village is probably more beautiful than the $30 million building.
Well, that's something to say.
Such a not unique. As elaborate, though, but yeah, it could be.
It is. You know, we're not as fancy, but I mean,
right.
Like I said, it's the theory, you know, people know food. I mean, the theory of cooking, you know, to get good at it, it's just to know the theory of it. So whether you spent $40,000 a year, or where we're at is under $7,000 a year, the theory is going to be the same.
What's it going to cost me to take if I want to take one class? What is a correct
one class is about it's a little under $700 for a three credit course,
yeah. Which meets what, 2 to 3 times a week?
Yeah, we have so if you're meeting say my culinary fundamentals class, and we're you say you came on Tuesday's mm-hmm. your cooking class, you'd meet for 15 weeks
okay.
straight. So we start up in September, every 15 weeks for on Tuesday, you come in to take the class, and the subject matter changes every time you come in there. But you're meeting, we open a restaurant too, so you're in there from 8 o'clock in the morning to about 2:45 in the afternoon. So
it's a combination of a book learning and hands-on application.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, we do. You know, and every instructor is different. And the one thing that I do, you know, is I think, you know, like today in today's day and age, and we're all sitting here, we have cell phones. You can look up any bit of information that you want. It's right in your palm of your hand nowadays. So you know, the theory of you know, like coming into class and me giving a student a 15-page paper just because I can. You know, I don't teach. I teach more differentiated than anything else. You know, so I'm not going to give you the 15-page paper just because on tomatoes. Because why? You can look it up right in your hand nowadays. You know, I'm going to do something more practical. You know, bring some business or some technology into it. You know, since we have it.
And yeah. Hands on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, practical testing. Like I said, that I'll have them create like a portfolio, which is important. So you go through all this whole class. And as you're going through the class, you know, so you take all these great things. People say, oh, yeah, you know, no cell phones in class. I'm like, bring them right in here. You know why? Because you're going to take a picture of that beautiful plate that you just did. And then you're going to create a portfolio out of it. All right. And then you can go with that portfolio and get a job. Here, look at this. This is what I did in school. You know, we covered Italian cuisine. We covered, you know, worldwide cuisine. And look, these are all the dishes that I did. And people are impressed by it. So, you know, I think that's more practical. Here's a 15-page paper on tomatoes or something.
I think one of the best food network shows, although it's not on anymore in its former form, was the Elton Brown, I think, Good Eats is what it was called.
Yeah, Good Eats, yeah.
And basically, he taught you the science of food.
I use those in our classes.
That's the most helpful stuff, because you do have to understand
the
physics of it, I think, which will get you through a lot of stuff when you're kind of questioning yourself.
Yeah. And those are great shows, because he simplifies. Mm-hmm. He simplifies the cooking.
And he has fun with it.
Yeah.
Elton Brown is still not on anymore? He's not on?
He doesn't do Good Eats anymore. That's out of production.
He's like more of a host of
shows. He's hosting a show where you try to sabotage your fellow competitor.
I don't like that show.
It's pretty
so much,
mean. But I think he can be mean too. He's kind of snarky.
Yeah, he is.
I love him, but he's kind of snarky.
Yeah, he is, and he's a NECI grad, you know. So he went to Vermont to NECI.
Oh, that's right. But then before that, he was actually a film director, and he worked for the rock band REM.
Oh, did he?
So I think he actually directed the video. Either The One I Love or The End of the World or whatever, one of those really big hit songs. He did the music video for it.
I didn't know that.
Decided, because he's from Georgia.
Yeah.
And that's where REM is from. So somehow he went to film school, got connected with REM, did that, and decided that he always loved cooking. So he went to his wife and said, I don't want to be a film director anymore. I want to be a chef. So she went along with him, and they moved up to Vermont and went to the school that you mentioned. And then he came back and started knocking out cable shows, and somebody noticed that he was extremely talented. And
I never knew that.
And he told me that the reason he started cooking in college was to meet girls. Now, this is when he was, before he went to the cooking school.
Wow.
He said, because it was a great way to meet girls, and you can't argue with that.
Hey, everybody likes a guy in uniform.
Yeah. You know?
Might be a fat guy, but you know what? So he's in uniform.
You are funny.
So, but and that's the best thing about culinary, about hospitality, the food industry. You know, it's so visual, and everybody's so interested in it. That, like, you know, I said, you know, bring in, you know, there's so many different facets in there. You could be a food writer. You could be a food stylist. You know, you could work in restaurants. You can work in hotels. You can work in nursing homes. You can all across, across the U.S., you know, and there's so many different facets to it.
I really appreciate a good food stylist because when's the last time you took a picture of something you made with your cell phone? And 9 times out of 10, it's not going to look very good.
Yeah.
And well, people put that stuff up on Facebook. I say, you're not doing yourself any favors by putting that up there.
Well, if you ever seen, like a picture of like a bowl of cereal in a magazine, all of that's just fake. It's glue.
Yeah.
You know, that's okay. All the little milk.
Interesting.
That's on. Yeah. You know, so.
Well, didn't Campbell's soup get in trouble a number of years ago? What they used was a bunch of marbles under the liquid part so that the letters would at least float or be on top so you could see more of the letters.
Oh, I didn't know.
It's part of the food styling, you know, and a lot of times ice cubes that you might see in a liquor ad or something, those are all lucite or made out of some kind of synthetic materials.
Yeah.
It's often not the actual ice.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of times that's what it is.
So that's what you would learn as a food stylist,
is those tricks
to make it look as good as possible.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
You know, so, but, you know, that's one of the things, too, at the college that I'm trying to do is trying to write programs to open up different avenues about the food service industry. And, you know, like I said, we're the largest, the second largest industry in the world next to government, you know.
And, really?
Oh, yeah. And it's, you know, it's one of those things that, hospitality in general.
Okay.
But it's one of those things that, you know, if restaurants shut down, they would sink the economy. It happened in the Great Depression when they got rid of the prohibition. Prohibition sunk the economy because restaurants couldn't afford to live.
But if prohibition came back, you'd be the guy making the booze.
Absolutely.
Say, I know you.
I get rich behind the scenes.
We better take a little break here. What do you think, Carol?
Yes, let's take a break. You're listening to Food for Thought. We're live at the Beacon Building. We have Chef Patrick in-house, Lakes Region Community College at Shaker Village. We'll be right back.
All right.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7. The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We are in studio with Chef Patrick, Lakes Region Community College at Shaker Village. And we're just talking about cooking.
Yeah,
and
cooking.
And cooking courses at Lakes Region Community College and just chatting away.
Yeah, it's a good subject. It's my lifelong subject, you know, that I've always done. So, but it's good. It's an exciting time of year over at Shaker Village. But every Wednesday, you're gonna see some new goodies come by the table here, and we're up in the swing of things.
And you gotta love a number of vocational high schools that also offer kind of giving you a head start, you know, for a couple years before you get into a university.
Center. Yeah, yeah. And we work with all the they call them CTE centers,
Nashua North and Alvern and places like that.
Yep. Yep. Nashua North and Manchester here has a great one, Seacoast School of Technology. Chef McGee and Chef Tabor there, two great guys. They're just they're just great chefs, and kids got a great opportunity there. So, but all these. And that's what my master's degree is in, CTE education, career and technical education. So CTE is a scope of anything from like automotive to you know, any sort of trade.
HVAC or?
Yeah. Yeah. So that style of education. So, Concord High School's got one. Chef Bob McIntosh, guys down in Nashua have a great one too.
I think Milford High School also
has
one.
We deal with Milford. Yep. It was used to be Chef Robinson. There's a new chef out there I got to meet too.
I had a really good lunch there one day.
They did a great
job. I've actually been to all of them for a newspaper story I did, and I was really impressed. I went over to Alvern High School, and I mean, they gave me the biggest piece of blueberry pie. I don't know if it's because I was media and they knew that, or if that's what the typical serving is.
Yeah, and the best thing, I mean, it's all industry chefs that are you know get into this, and that's the best thing. When I grew up in Western Western Mass, we had a vocational school. So when you went to high school, you either went to the high school or you went to the vocational school. And the vocational school would be like, okay, you take your cooking classes 1 week or for 2 weeks, and then you'd have a week of your gen eds, like your math or English or science and stuff like that. But I like the way they do it in New Hampshire nowadays, because all the voc schools are attached to the high schools nowadays for many of them. So if you're a kid, and then they have sending schools, like if you are from MST, you could get some from Goffstown, and you know all these other high schools send them over there. So you got that option. But if you're at that high school, at Concord High School, it's a great opportunity, because yeah. You know, that's something I should have done. I didn't go to a voc school. I went to the high school because, you know, that's where my buddies were going. And
yeah, you
know.
But you got your cooking education.
Yeah,
probably in even a better setting.
Yeah, in the real world, you know,
real world, right?
Washing pots at 13 years old, you know, and then
There's plenty of talk of possibly, free community college education for the first two. Well, it is basically a 2-year, you know, program anyway. Whether or not that happens, but I saw something online today about my hometown, which is Detroit, which is just in such sad shape. And it looked like either they proposed or passed a thing where if you graduate from a Detroit public high school, and believe me, a lot of people don't graduate. If you do, you will then be granted a free 2-year tuition at whatever the local community college is in Detroit. So, you know, that's something that you got to take advantage of.
You know, you got to take advantage of it too. But you know, like, this is all voting season, you know, and you see here all these issues going on today. This is a big issue, because guess what? You know, your kids are going to graduate and they're going to have $200,000 in debt on their back.
Exactly.
So, and what's that going to do? Because you know, where we're at right now. You know, but when these kids get old enough to own a house, they're not going to be able to afford a house. They're not going to be able to afford a car.
They won't be able to.
Yeah.
You're exactly right.
You know, and it's going to be – it's one of those things. And that's what community college is for. And that's the biggest misconception about community college, is that people think, oh, it's just a community college. It's, you know. But, you know, we offer your first two years degree, and then you can transfer on to go get that bachelor's degree once you find out what you're going to do.
What you want to do.
I mean, there's a lot of kids out there that are students that go off into college, and they get into something they don't really want to do, and they just spent – $50,000. I mean, it's such a shame. You know?
And part of the problem with, as you pointed out, the $200,000, which is not an exorbitant amount in today's world of debt. So yeah, they can't buy the house. But when they get out and they got $500 or $600 monthly payments to make to get that nut cracked, they can't afford to come work in a restaurant for $12 to $15 an hour, starting on the line or whatever it is. And so that's really, I think, hurting the restaurant business.
Well, that's what it is. And it's like, so it's just so crazy that, you know, you're spending $50,000, $40,000 a year, say even $30,000 a year to learn how to cook. And you don't need to have a degree to become a chef. You know, but it helps, you know, obviously it helps if you want to, you know, go further. Maybe you might want to cook someday. Maybe you might want to teach, you know, and that's the only reason why I'm standing here today, you know.
But you enjoy teaching, right? For you, it's not a step back. You truly are passionate about it.
You know, I was passionate first about the restaurant industry. You know, I own my own restaurant for 8 years with my wife, and we decided to have kids and decided it wasn't a family, you know, with what we wanted, you know. So from owning the restaurant, I took a stab at throwing my application in for being a professor. And the only reason why I was to be able to do that was because I have a bachelor's degree, you know, had a bachelor's degree. And it was by fluke. I was just going to go get an associate's. And then it came out, Johnson Wells came out with this new 4-year program. And my father's like, why don't you go for it? So I'm glad I did. And now that I was at the college, I went on and I got my master's degree. So who knows? Maybe I'll get a doctorate degree too next.
Oh, my God.
Well, Dr. Patrick.
So here's a question I always wondered about, the protocol of addressing you as chef. I mean, there are certain people, officer this, doctor this, father this. And I always, not really sure, and I've known you for a long time, so I don't always call you chef, although on the air we do.
Yeah.
A sign of respect. What's the protocol?
Well, generally, you know, like I said, the chef is the head of the kitchen. You know, that's just what it is. It's just a matter of respect. And so, you know, working in kitchens, the classical French ways, you have brigade systems. So you had, your person that was the grill person, you had your person that was the saucier, and that's how the chef, you know, terminology came about. You know, you're the head chef, you have two sous chefs, and then so it's a protocol is what it is. A lot of people throw it around very, very lightly today. You know, I spent a lot of times, I've been doing this for 27 years, you know, studying. You know, earlier on in my career, I would never have called myself a chef, you know, so I was just, you know, like I said, a cook. But, you know, gotten to the point where I spent enough time to educate myself you know, and, you know, done this seriously, you know, and held every position from dishwasher all the way up to owner.
You earned, you know, that title.
Yeah, and I think it's an earned response.
It
you
is.
Know? And,
it
and,
is.
And that's what it is.
Do you teach the kids that?
I do. I do, I and I tell important. People, you know, but it's still when I'm in the kitchen, you know, generally it's, hey, Chef Hall, can we do Chef Hall this, you know, but, you know, people are like, hey, Pat, and I won't blink. So, you know, I had some other colleagues that are like, he didn't call you chef. I'm like, well, whatever. I don't care. You know? It's one of those things. I know what I know, you know, and that's the thing. I know what I can do. I know, you know, my expertise. So, you know, it's not a badge of honor for anybody, but it, you know, it's cool, but it's one of those things that, you know, I'm very passionate about this. So, but the theory behind it, you're correct. Like, you know, I said to earn that title. I mean, yeah, put your time in and do it, you know?
Well, chef.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Goodbye. Yeah. Thank you for the treats from your students.
Yes. Thank you. Food for Thought is over. Up next is Kale and Company. So we'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye, everybody.